is the Tom Likas Show.
You can make a loaf of bread for as little as a quarter.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank,
for a loaf of bread. Likas.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. You can hear us live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24/7 at blowmeuptom.com. You can hear our show on our brand new free app. Get it at the Google Play Store. Get it at the App Store. Or get the Tom Likas Show app at TomEverywhere.com. It's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning into a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And joining us now in studio is family law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, thanks for coming in.
Can you turn on my microphone there,
Gary? Do we not have his mic on?
Yeah, we're good now.
Gary will get to it when he gets to it.
I was sleeping. Sorry, I was taking a nap.
Oh.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Oh, my. I'm doing okay.
So I think it's worth talking.
Do you feel refreshed now?
Much better.
Huh?
Much better. You know, the studio just does that to me.
Good.
I
know.
I think I might as well finish a few words about this alimony thing that you were talking about last 2 hours ago.
Yes.
You know, one of the things that happens in terms of the law, which is problematic, is the issue of what we call rationality. Now, you know, when taxes on individuals were in the 80 and 90% range, and there's a big cry nowadays to, you know, stick it to the rich or whatever, what ends up happening is that people confronted with, you know, something that's so outrageous and they consider unfair will do all kinds of methods to evade it. Now, if people know that they're going to pay 20 or 30% taxes and be done with it, they'll pay it. You know, they don't want to know about it or whatever. But, I mean, when you look at strange outcomes that happen and things that are irrational, people will just fight it and they'll just ignore it. And in a lot of ways, I think what you see in today's legal system is a lot of the aspects collapsing and a lot of respect for law collapsing. They were just talking about jury duty. I heard this on the radio today that something like 1 out of 4 people takes the jury duty summons and throws it away, you know? And that's like, again, the system collapsing. That's people not respecting, you know, what the duty of citizenship is, and you know, you're getting a summons and it's official and you don't care. That's really unfortunate. And I've got guys.
I have to say something. You know what, though? I have to say something about that, Adam.
You don't like jury duty either, right?
That's not it. As a matter of fact, if I could get on a jury, I'd gladly go. But every time I ever went down to the jury pool, the minute people knew what I did for a living, they dismissed me.
Yeah.
So you waste an entire day to find out I'm going to be served.
Yeah. Me too, Tom. They don't take
honestly,
lawyers either.
I would
you know?
Enjoy serving on a jury. Huh?
They don't take lawyers either. I've always been dismissed. You know,
that's what I'm saying. I would love to serve on a jury. I've never had the opportunity. But I got to say this. When you get those notices, they do it all wrong. First things first. They make it look all threatening. You know, you
official.
Must open this.
Yeah.
You must respond to this by whatever deadline, and you must this and you must that. But we weren't born yesterday. You're sending it by first or second or third class mail. There's no record of whether I ever received that mail.
Right.
And so when you tell me I better respond or else, there's a big fat finger coming your way when you talk to me like that.
When you say
you'd
that
be
way,
much
Tom.
Better off reminding people that, you know, if you're upset at the way juries are deciding on cases involving the police or other jury decisions that we don't like, the best way to do something about that is to come on down to the jury pool and get involved. But they don't do it. They do it in a threatening manner, the way they threaten you when you get a parking ticket. They threaten
right.
you when you get one of those red light camera tickets. And I think people kind of lump all that stuff together and they say, fuck you.
Right, right. Well, I guess that's part of it. I mean, when you look at guys that I know that have child support orders that they didn't really deal with correctly, and they didn't pay them for years and years, and they end up getting a bill for $116,000, you know, in arrearages. There are a number of guys, I've seen cases where between their spousal support and their alimony, their paycheck ends up being literally zero. I mean, with all the deductions and everything. And that gentleman that you're going to have on this week, I have checked his website before, and he's an interesting character. But, you know, Tom, probably the biggest issue is not getting rid of alimony just generally, but the concept of lifetime alimony. You know, that's what's really problematic. And if we're going to do this, we're going to have to do this in steps. And the first thing that is absolutely outrageous is the concept of lifetime alimony. Now, generally speaking, you know, when you talk about women that are married, that, you know, supposedly sacrifice their own careers and raise children and sort of old school women, they don't exist anymore. And it's amazing when you see women who are screaming at you at the top of their lungs how they're independent and they, you know, they're their own girl and don't tell me what to do. And then they come in and you got to see them in court. They got their thumb in their mouth like a child. And they say, oh, I can't take care of myself, and I can't support myself, and I'm handicapped, and I'm a housewife, and I don't know anything, and I need my ex to support me. Now, that's supposed to be, and that's the word alimony, it's supposed to be restorative, it's supposed to be temporary, it's supposed to be something that gets you back on your feet. Now, the idea of having it be, you know, until the woman gets married again is also old school. Because the thinking would be that a woman needs a man and she's only going to be single for a few years until she remarries. And, you know, women used to remarry. The widow would remarry. And nowadays, if a woman knows that she's getting this big alimony check and she can really stick it to her ex-husband by never remarrying, that's what she chooses to do. And there are unbelievable number of cases where women, you know, will live with a guy or they'll be involved or whatever, and they tell the guy, look, I love you and everything, but I got to get this money from my ex for as long as I can. I'm not going to get married just for that reason alone. And so in practice, the system has really broken down. Now, I know a case which is very disturbing that happened here in California where a guy, and we've talked about this, he, you know, classic cheating woman. And they've shown that now that we have DNA testing for the first time in history, it's been shown worldwide, and this includes, you know, Saudi Arabia, you know, where it's much more extreme than it is here. But worldwide, between 10 and 20% of children are being raised by men who think they're the father, but they're not, because the woman, you know, fooled around to get some superior DNA from someone else. And, you know, this guy in California found out that these two children were not his biologically, and he was furious. The court didn't care. It was too late. Plus, they had been married, so there's a presumption of law that the children are his. And he was given this very, very large child support order to pay for children that were not his. And he ended up picking up and moving abroad. He went to live in Thailand. Now, I remember sort of my mixed reaction when I was a bit younger, saying, you know, oh, what a scumbag, you know, what a loser, you know, that those kids, you know, he raised them or he was with them for years or whatever. He should have, you know, manned up and come to the plate and all that BS that my mother's filled my head with. But the truth is that, you know, if you really know they're not your kids, you're getting something, you know, that as an outcome that's completely unjust. You know, the whole justice is supposed to be that woman with the scale, you know, with the blindfold on. Right, Tom? That's Lady Justice. What kind of sick system do you have when, you know, you walk out at the end of the day and your ex-wife is sitting there laughing at you, you know, and you've been ordered to pay child support for kids that aren't yours? I mean, that's insane. Or when you are supposed to help your ex-wife get back on her feet, maybe, whatever, she didn't work, or who knows what her story was. You know, and instead of the fact that you were good to her and you helped her and you supported her during your marriage, that's all turned upside down and reversed and inverted against you, where now you're paying support not for a couple of years, but permanently until she remarries, which is probably never going to happen because she knows that she'd be giving up so much by doing that. And then you get a paycheck and you make, I don't know, $8,000 a month, let's say. And after your taxes are deducted and then the garnishments for your support and spousal and child support, your check at the bottom, it literally is a check for zero. So, I mean, that's slavery. That's modern day slavery. And, you know, your ex-wife, and this is the, what I would call the Argentinian aspect, which is that your ex-wife is taking the money that you're paying her, and she's living it up with a new guy. So you're essentially paying for the guy who's screwing your ex-wife. And in Argentina, I mean, you could kill that guy and you could kill her and that would be totally justified. they wouldn't even press charges. They'd say, oh yeah, well, of course, you know, you kill your ex-wife and her lover, you know, that makes perfect sense to the South Americans. But, you know, when you have a system that's dysfunctional like this, that doesn't actually make sense, something has to be done. Now, that gentleman that, what's his name, Gary Clark or something? The guy who's coming on Thursday.
No, Steve Clark.
Yeah, Clark, yeah. You know, I read his website, and he's talking about, I thought he was a lawyer, but apparently he's not. But he's talking about that his wife was a dental hygienist, and she was making six figures. And what she kept saying to him, which is just unbelievable, it really shows you how women think. And I'm sorry to say this, Tom, because I remember hearing you say this years and years ago on your radio show when I was first kind of introduced to you. And I remember thinking how harsh it was. And you said how something like how a woman sees her sexuality as something that she trades, like stock and trade, you know, and her vagina has money value and it has a, you know, some kind of quality value. And she's trying to sell it on eBay to the highest bidder and so forth. And I just remember thinking, you know, the cynicism of a statement like that. Well, what this guy Clark's wife said to him, which is very common, and this is the reason I mention it, because it is so common. She says to him something along the lines of, you know, I gave you 20 years of my life, or you know, something along the lines of how long they were together. And he says, you know, rhetorically, didn't I also give her 20 years of my life, you know? And that's this thing about us men, like our time doesn't count or something, you know? That's when you go on a date, you're supposed to pay.
Well, you know what that's based on? You know what that's based on? And many women have been very open in discussing it. Women see themselves as having a window of desirability or opportunity.
Right.
And so I've had women say things to me like, I gave you all my best years, meaning all the years you were still attractive enough to get a guy with money.
Right. So now that she's going back on the market, right, now she's 10 years older and more saggy and whatnot, and so you have to pay cash value for the prior use of the vagina, right? But she doesn't know it. She doesn't owe it to you, because unlike women that are milk and going sour, men are wine and growing more valuable. So the truth is your value's increased, and meanwhile, she got screwed. So the only way to fix this this wrongfulness here is to write her a check. I mean, give me a break. And what happened with Clark is that he says, in the case of his divorce, how even though she could make six figures, she kept saying how she deserved compensation. And he was just horrified by that. And, you know, it has to be some kind of finite nature to it. That's the difference, Tom. I don't know what he's going to do, and I wish him luck, and I certainly would sign off if he wants to put this on the California ballot or whatever, but I'd say the probability and likelihood of it really going through is relatively low. I don't know that alimony as a concept is something that needs to be destroyed, because as you know now, it's gender neutral, so men can get it and so forth. The real problem is when
it's unfair
and
endless. Yeah, but you know better than anyone,
Adam,
that very few men are getting it.
Yes,
some
of course
do,
that's true.
But very few.
Yeah, I know. It's true. I've gotten it for a few men, and believe me, the women couldn't believe it either. What I think you have to look at, like I said, is this aspect of it being rational. Where, I mean, if you look at, you know, this is an example of our times, and you mentioned it before, and it didn't get as much attention as it should have. You know, Robin Williams, you know, was a real hero. I mean, he was a real Renaissance man who, you know, had done stand-up comedy. He had these comedy albums. Then he was on television, and he was on Saturday Night Live. He had a TV show that was very popular. Then he started making movies that were very popular. I mean, he was really a big star, you know. He even crossed over into cartoons, right? He did the Aladdin, Genie, which was, like, unbelievable performance, right? And he, you know, that you cannot deny it. He was absolutely destroyed. Of tens of millions of dollars between his two ex-wives. And it was like as much as he paid them, they were always coming back for more. See, that's the craziness of it. I mean, if you're understanding how women think and the spitefulness of women, there's a case I just read about in England where the guy divorced a woman 15 years ago, it's all said and done, hadn't heard from her, didn't give a shit, didn't have kids with her. They weren't married very long. And apparently, in the intervening years, he became very successful in business, and now he's worth like hundreds of millions of pounds or whatever. And after all this time, she's coming back and trying to get a piece of the action of his post-divorce money or whatever, that she somehow, you know, deserves part of that for some reason. And it's sort of like this lottery thing. Now, you know, Williams' wife, and this is true in a lot of the cases I do, you know, she walked away with huge settlement. I mean, huge. It was 20-something million. She got his house. She got parts of his pension or whatever. And then she just kept this lawyer on retainer. And every year or two, they would try to get more. They try to increase it. And, you know, it drove him, I think, insane. I mean, he committed suicide. That's pretty heavy stuff. And he probably had a lot of problems, and who knows. And he had problems with drugs or whatever. But, I mean, there really is some genuine unfairness to the system, and I think everyone knows it. And what ends up happening now is that people are ignoring it. Now, I have a guy who has to pay very large child support. I mean, ridiculously large, and something silly like $20,000 or $30,000 a month. And it was based on a business that he had that's no longer going on, and so he doesn't have that income anymore. And he literally just stopped paying it. He just said, the hell with it, I can't do it. And, you know, he faces contempt of court, and he faces literally going to jail. Now, we talk about, like, kind of in the old days of Victorian England with Charles Dickens books, you know, where people went to debtor's prison. And, you know, we're so proud of ourselves in America that we don't do that, and England doesn't do that anymore, and so forth. But we do have debtor's prison. We have debtor's prison for people, particularly men, something like 98% of the people there are men, for not paying child support. But the truth is, this guy said to me, you know, for all intents and purposes, the hell with it, I'll go to jail. What are they going to do to me? They'll keep me a couple of days. I'm not going to pay it. I don't care what they do. And so instead of having something rational where he pays an amount that he can afford, you know, the woman goes for broke and she gets herself, you know, 100% of zero. So she gets herself a huge amount of money. She thinks that she's been super duper smart and walks out with an irrational order. What's crazy is the system is willing to give it to her. Now, I had a case recently where the judge did not believe the figures that this client of mine wrote. You have forms that you fill out where you put in how much you earn and your, you know, expenses each month and so forth. And a lot of these things are numbers that you just enter yourself. You're sort of making a voluntary disclosure. Now, you have, you know, pay stubs and so forth, but at the same time, if you're self-employed, a lot of times these are things that you're just disclosing. And ultimately, the judge did not accept what my guy wrote. I think he was trying to be honest, but the judge said, I don't believe this. I think your income is twice as much, and gave the ex-wife, who was completely parasitic, refused to work, claimed to be disabled or who knows, which I really don't think she was, and gave her literally almost 100% of his monthly income. So although this guy has a successful business, he now has absolutely no incentive to continue it. He's just going to close it. And he has every incentive to break the order and break the law and just scoff the whole thing and say, who cares? What's the use? I'm not going to work my whole month and knock myself out and give nearly 100% of my income to my ex so that she can spend it on another man. I mean, if you think about it, as crazy as that is, you know, that actually is logical. And when you put people into these corners where they don't have choice and they don't have any rational option. If I was a man, you know, confronted by lifetime alimony, I mean, Tom, can you get your head around that, Tom? Seriously.
I've known people who pay lifetime alimony. I've had the conversation.
Can you think of anything more sickening?
Forever.
I mean, come on. You know, it's amazing. There's nothing in the world that gives back like that. I mean, I knew a guy that was married for about 11 years, like 20 or 30 years ago, okay? So this is a woman that he hardly even remembers what she looks like at this point. He's been divorced from her for longer than they were together. I mean, they were together for 11 years, but he's divorced for like 25 years, okay? And they had a daughter or two, and they're all grown up. You know, she lives in a different place or whatever. And after all this time, she's still torturing him. She's still coming back for more money. She's taking a chunk of his military pension. She hates his guts. She literally has made it her life's purpose to go after him and to take him to court again and again and again to keep reminding him, you know, hey, fuck you, I'm still here, you know? And it's like, you know, she never remarried. She never really got herself together. I think she needs therapy, okay? But we have a system that encourages this behavior. And here is kind of this thing when you talk about lifetime alimony, if you're paying, God knows, you know, $20,000, $30,000 a month for the rest of your life, you know, there really is a real question I would ask myself if it wouldn't be logical to move abroad or to change your name and get a new social security number like the witness protection program or something and just start over, you know, or being in some kind of all cash business or something. And I think that's what a lot of people do. And we shouldn't have a system that's irrational like that. That doesn't make sense. You know, a lot of guys resent paying child support. And it's unfair that the woman gets it as a cash payment and doesn't necessarily spend it on the kids. But I can understand child support. You know, child support makes sense. You have children. You have to help them. They need books and they need, you know, braces and whatever the heck else kids need. Okay. But spousal support in itself, by itself, is wrong. It's a wrongful thing. And it has to be done in a limited way. And that is not how we're doing it anymore. And I think you mentioned, or the other guy mentioned, that there was a motion to try to get rid of lifetime spousal support in Florida, and it was making progress, and it got killed. And I'm sorry to say that if this was ever going to be the case, you know, California has to lead the way. And this is something that we need to do. It's starting to happen a little. There's definitely some things among judges now where they are less inclined to give lifetime. They're much more inclined to tell the woman you have to, you know, start getting back to work, and there's some certain warnings and so forth. But the thinking is that if they cut off the alimony for a woman that chronically refuses to work, that most likely what's going to happen to her next is that she's going to become a ward of the state. So the judge is saying, if I cut off the alimony where she's getting money from the husband, then next month she's going to start collecting money from the state of California taxpayers. And that to them is even worse. So they're very inclined to, you know, look at this woman and say she's pathetic and she's a loser, but at least it's her husband, you know, or her, in this case, her ex-husband's problem, rather than it should be everyone's problem.
Right. And, you know, what bothers me about this so much is that there are women with no kids who get alimony. That makes no sense at all. You know, one of my marriages, I got married, and my wife conveniently lost her job 3 months in and didn't work again for the next 9 years.
Unbelievable. And by the way, Tom, classic story, classic story. I've heard it even more specific where the guy got married to a woman and, like, the next day she quit her job. Now, you know, if you look at the statistics now, they were talking about this also, that some very high percentage of women over 40 for the first time in history, something like 40 or whatever percent, never had kids, don't have kids, don't want kids. And I saw these little things they do, these, you know, obviously it's not any kind of statistical study, but they go to like the main square on a college campus. And they just ask the women that are walking by, you know, are you ever going to have kids? Do you want kids? And they all say, oh, no. Maybe in my 40s, you know, maybe in my 50s. I don't think after my career is really advanced, do I want kids, if ever. And so the underpinning of the idea, again, we talked about the, you know, antiquated nature of marriage. But one of the underpinnings of getting married was to start a family. And that's gone. So, I mean, when you talk about this woman who supposedly stayed home and sacrificed and, you know, raised your kids, I mean, on some level as a man, you know, as you're sitting there writing these checks every month, you could, I don't know, sleep on that somehow. You could put your head on the pillow and say, okay, you know, it's ridiculous that I'm giving her all this money, but at least she's the mother of my kids, and at least she, like, you know, stayed with them, you know, until they were in grade school or, you know, stayed home with them or something. But like you're talking about your ex, here's a woman that immediately quit her job, spent years and years and years just doping around in the house, you know, getting neurotic, never really got back into anything. And then after years and years, you know, wants money. And it's like, for what? You should be paying me back for, you know, letting you have the house and the food and everything all those years without working. It doesn't seem like the sacrifice. I kind of imagine your mother, Tom, with the wax. Remember that thing with waxing the floor?
Yeah, my mother was on all fours,
yeah,
waxing the hardwood floors,
yeah,
with, with Preen and a cane.
Preen, yeah. Having never met the woman, I kind of have a visualization in my mind of that, you know? And it seems to me that that is what we were talking about. And the judges know. I mean, everyone knows that those days are long since over. And there's no connection to that in reality whatsoever. I mean, it's absolutely absurd. You know, there's conversations I've had with women who told me, you know, career women that I went on dates with and said, you know, they said, oh, I really want to have a kid. I want to have a kid. And I say, well, you know, if we had a kid, you know, how would you raise the kid? And they go, oh, well, I'm going to, you know, you'll get me a nanny. You'll get me a maid. You know, it's like, what are you talking about? You know, why would you want to have a kid and then let the maid raise it? What are you talking about? I mean, they don't seem to connect with anything beyond, you know, having a child is just sort of like having another dog, you know, and you can pay for a dog walker, you know. Why would you spend time with your own kid? That would be ridiculous considering, you know, you went to Yale Law School. You should be concentrating on your job. But in any case, I wouldn't pay
very
alimony.
Very frustrating. And I get so angry at the thought of this by design, and that's because I hired the right attorneys. I have never paid a penny in alimony, never.
Well, you're the exception, Tom. Tom, you're very exceptional. You know it, okay? You took care in a way that most men never do. I really
That's
think
why I'm here trying to tell the guys you can do that, but you've got to be smart about it. And, you know, first of all, don't get married. But if you do, you have to have professionals on your side guiding you when you do it to make sure that you don't end up giving away half of everything you own or your business. Now, I've known people who've given up dental practices or had to be partners with their ex-wives in a dental practice and things like that. Crazy stuff. Crazy.
Well, I think that if you look at today, considering, you know, and we've talked about this too, and in all fairness, I've said on the air a few times that I didn't think that marriage was particularly beneficial for women either. And I think that a lot of the benefits that women used to get don't exist anymore. But if you look at it from a woman's point of view, Tom, I think one of the reasons that women still want to get married or women push to get married at all is because of this. I think that they know instinctively that they can, you know, screw the guy with it and that they can use it against him, or that they're buying sort of an insurance policy. And the idea where women say they want to marry a rich guy or whatever, you know, the second part about that is that he's also supposed to be rich, but he's also supposed to be stupid. And as much as he's accumulated a fortune, he's also not very careful with his money. And so he puts himself into the David Letterman story where he's worth $400 million, but he never signed a prenup or anything and doesn't have any kind of plan. So, you know, he's going to get screwed out of at least half of it. And to write a check for $200 million and then on top of that be burdened for life with alimony payments and child support payments, which are going to be obscene. I mean, it's wrong that we have a society that even thinks and contemplates this way. And I think we're watching the final days. I mean, I really do. I understand, and I really hope that people make progress in terms of, you know, putting these things on the ballot or eliminating them or whatever. But as I said, I think the system is fundamentally breaking down. When you talk to lawyers and judges on the inside, I think they know that too. I think that my people know that this is the end of the game and that we're watching the end of it and we're kind of presiding over it. And the statistics bear us out that people aren't getting married anymore. People aren't making families in the same way because they know that there's no upside to it. And women somehow are still kind of, some of them are, hanging on with their fingernails to what they call, you know, traditionalism, which is on top of all of their equality and all that other nonsense. They say, oh, I still want a traditional man. I'm old fashioned. I want to get married. And it's because they know that they're going to benefit from it in their heart of hearts that, you know, if it doesn't work out and the starter husband falls through, they've got this, lovely parting gifts. So there you go.
Yes. Carol Merrill. And
Carol Merrill.
Parting gift from Let's Make a Deal.
Oh, Carol Merrill.
Yes.
Now, the truth is right. they're hanging on to that hope that Carol Merrill is going to bring them the lovely parting gifts. The problem is that you as the man are going to be the one writing the check for those gifts. I can't stress
right.
that enough. And when you think about the way people walk away and women feel wronged, even if they're the ones that break the relationships, and women file most divorces and break most relationships, but the spitefulness and vindictiveness is given full rein. And the woman goes and she carries on and makes the kids hate you, and she's spiteful with your ex-friends, and she destroys your stuff, and then you can't get rid of her. And I think that that kind of torment, you were saying how among the pain of life and the different things that happen in life, divorce is like the loss of a close family member. You know, it's like 100 on the scale of 100 of pain and loss. And that's definitely true. And I think that women exploit that. And that's something that the law should not help them do. And yet it does. And that's really the fundamental problem. And I think that men are now looking at their fathers, they're looking at their older brothers, and they're looking at the people that they know, and they're saying, wait a minute, look what happened to him. I'm not going to have that happen to me. The hell with that. No way. So there you go. And until that irrationality, well, yeah, until that irrationality is worked out of the system, you're going to see it just completely collapse. And I think that's what is happening. When we talk about this, Tom, 10 and 20 years from now, you'll see that these things are happening now that you've predicted and so forth are going to be even much more accelerated. You know, where you're talking about now, it's like, you know, the minority of people are married. I think in 10 and 20 years, it's going to be less than 20% or less than 10% of people being married. So it's not just going to be a trend. It's going to be a real social, what's the word, like a movement, like a complete conversion of the way society was. And in a lot of ways, it's unfortunate because I think, you know, in some ways, family was good for people. It's certainly good for children. And generally speaking, that was the bedrock of the society. You know, when you hear it now, we're going to have this presidential election, and we're going to have these right-wing family-type Republicans talking about strengthening the family. And I could almost fall on the floor laughing. Because anyone who's been in family court knows that the state doesn't give a shit about strengthening the family. Anyways.
No, they care about strengthening the connection to your wallet. That's what they care about.
It's not a joke.
I know.
Well, there you have it.
Believe me, I know. I will take a break here. We'll come back with Adam Sachs. Adam Sachs is here as family law attorney, Adam Sachs, and that means if you have a question about divorce, maybe you're going through a divorce or thinking about it, maybe you are separated, maybe you're thinking about getting a legal separation, maybe you're worried about child custody or child support. Maybe you're considering getting married. You want to know about a prenup or a post-nuptial agreement. Maybe you are concerned about, maybe you've got a restraining order against you. I mean, all of these things can happen in that romantic world of marriage and divorce. And Adam lives in that world every day and can answer your questions. So if you've got a question about divorce or separation, child support, child custody, prenups, postnups, all of that stuff. Call us right now. Adam will answer your questions. This is free legal advice for you. Just call us right now at this number, 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. That's the telephone number. It's 901-3000-866.
The entire Tom Likas experience in your pants. Get the app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Hey, P1s. Our show and our company, The New Normal, are one big experiment. And whether we continue into the future depends on whether we can generate enough revenue to pay our guys and our various expenses. One painless way you can help to guarantee that we'll be here is to use the Amazon.com link at blowmeuptom.com or on our Facebook page. Now, we don't ask you to buy anything you don't want or need. By clicking on our Amazon link, you'll get the same low Amazon prices you always get. And Amazon will look exactly the same to you. But the new normal gets credit every time you visit Amazon through our link. By using the Amazon link at blowmeuptom.com, you can get computers, electronics, games, clothing, just about anything, even groceries, at ridiculously low prices. And the revenue we get from Amazon helps us to keep the number of commercials to a reasonable level. Do it while you're thinking about it. Go to blowmeuptom.com or the Tom Likas Show Facebook page and click on our Amazon links to do your Amazon shopping. And pass our link along to your friends. The Amazon.com link from blowmeuptom.com.
Hey, bitches, this is Manju. If you missed the Getty and Dino show, show 600, you missed this.
Satisfy me, don't deny me one more time.
Like fun on the sun tonight.
Congratulations!
Thank you!
The king of cream.
Yeah. There he is.
King of cream.
You got to turn her over and eat her.
Yeah,
yeah, baby.
Congratulations to you!
The Getty and Dino show. Go to GettyandDino.com.
All right, boys, let's talk insurance. Coslow Insurance. COSTLO. Now, you've probably heard Jeremy Rubin on our show. Jeremy's family has owned and operated Coslow since 1965, and they're all about getting you the right protection at the right price. Now, you know I got my Tesla Model S insured with Coslow. Well, you know I was so happy with their service. Now I've added two more of my cars and my home in the Hollywood Hills. And it's not just me. Plenty of listeners have called to tell us how thrilled they are that they've made the switch. Look, there's a reason Coslow has been in business for almost 50 years. Give them a call for a free, no-obligation quote. The number, 818-707-7711. Or visit CoslowInsurance.com and see how much you can save. Property, auto, commercial, health, or life insurance. It's 818-707-7711. Or visit CoslowInsurance.com today. Coslow. COSTLO.
Hammer time.
Tom Likas Show. Oh, yeah. It's the bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show with family law attorney Adam Sachs. And your phone calls at 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. 901-3000-866. Adam, I know someone who has the following problem. I want to talk about this.
Yes.
Somebody who went ahead and married someone from another country thinking, well, I hate those American bitches as much as the next guy, so I'm going to marry a chick from another country.
Sounds like a good idea at first.
Right. So in this case, the woman is from the Netherlands. All right, and definitely not my taste, but that was his taste.
West European.
He marries a woman from the Netherlands. He has two kids. He is telling me how he's happy as a clam, happy as a clam, happy as a clam. And then one day, the kids are around 5 and 7 years old. The wife just announces that she's fed up. And he comes home from work one day, and they've left, mom and the two kids, and they have gone to the Netherlands.
Oh, there you go.
Now, if someone calls you with a problem like that, what can they do about that?
Oh, God, Tom. You know, I was hearing that you turn out to be Ukrainian, right? Not Lithuanian after all.
Yes, I turned out to be Ukrainian, yes.
And I am too, by the way. And
look at that.
Yes. And my grandfather, on my father's side, was a Jewish guy, of course, and he was a bookmaker in the Bronx. So,
Oh, really?
I got you five different ways, Tom.
Look at that.
But,
wow.
Yeah, they must have known each other, I'm sure. But, you know, when you talk about, you know, picking up a woman from the Ukraine, that's a lot different than a woman from, you know, Western Europe, such as what you're talking about from Holland or the Netherlands or whatever. You know, there is definitely going to be a honeymoon period, particularly with the Ukrainian woman or the Russian woman or a woman from the third world countries that come to the United States, and she's so excited to be here. She's never seen a fully stocked supermarket before, and, you know, she's really pumped up about the whole thing for a while. And you can have a couple of good years, you know, but then you start to find out, you know, how sincere or insincere it all really was. And once she starts to be more confident of herself and she makes contact, you know, with the other people from her country, if they have like, you know, kind of Little Italy or whatever in town, right, in their little areas and pockets of their community. I had a couple of cases lately of guys that married Korean women, I had one married a woman from Norway, which is a Western country, of course, in Scandinavia. And it's exactly what you just described. You know, we think of America as the center of the universe, but this woman was a Norwegian, and she, you know, had a green card, so she had been in America. He didn't bring her here. She was already here for a number of years. And I don't think that men always recognize how much having children changes a woman. You know, it's interesting. I've seen a number of cases where women have children and suddenly they become very religious. You know, they were always, you know, Catholic or whatever, but they didn't care about it. It was sort of dormant. And in some way, having children made, you know, sort of the need for some kind of rules, and they wanted to have stability, and they wanted to have a spiritual connection. And, you know, as much as you love the United States, Tom, this woman, deep down in her heart, really loved the Netherlands. You know, that was her country. And so, on some level, she had this little adventure marrying this American guy, and she was staying with him. But once she had kids and they were a few years old, it occurred to her, I suppose, I'm speculating, of course, that she wanted them to, you know, to recognize her culture and to know her country and to be with her parents, maybe. You know, she missed her parents and her family and her language, of course. And, you know, when you're the American guy, you know, you marry the woman from Norway, you don't speak Norwegian. You marry the woman from Korea, you don't learn Korean. You don't start getting into Korean culture. I mean, maybe a little, but, you know, this Korean guy, the wife took the kids for Christmas to Korea, and she's supposed to stay for like a month or something, and she just never came back. She just wouldn't come back. She just stayed in Korea. And you have to file a case in the United States. You have to take that case, you know, get custody and bring it to the other country. And there are international treaties between countries. So, you know, technically what your ex-wife or wife or whatever has done is kidnapping. It's child abduction. And there are rules about it. But you're going to have to fight in international courts. And you're going to have a pile of money. You're going to have a lot of money to deal with a lawyer here and a lawyer there and flying back and forth and all the ramifications. This particular Norwegian person, when he went to Norway, the kids were speaking Norwegian. The mother had forbidden them to speak English, and she put them in Norwegian schools, and she was already dating some Norwegian guy, and she was telling the kids that that's their father now, and she went whole hog. She actually had, as I mentioned, a green card, which is a permanent residency in the United States, and she went to the embassy of the United States and denounced it. Which means that she gave it up, you know? I mean, you never know how people are going to change. And I could really see, and I'm, you know, we've talked about this too, Tom, how, you know, sort of betting the house, as it were, on a very whimsical thing, which is a woman. And you don't know, you think you're perfectly happy, and you think everything's going fine, and you come home one day, and she's left. And she didn't even tell you anything was wrong, you know? She leaves you a note.
Right.
Screw this. I'm living in the Netherlands now. I'm moving to Amsterdam. And if you want to see the kids, you can come visit them there. Goodbye. As a man, you're like, what? You know, like, where did that come from, you know? And
now, Adam, what about child support?
Oh, she'll get that too. Why not?
You're going to be denied the opportunity to see her kids, but could she still come after you for money from far away?
Absolutely. You know, those are two completely different things, and guys don't always realize that. There's definitely been studies that show that men are much more inclined to pay child support for a child whose life they're in, which makes sense, and they're more connected or whatever. But the issue of child support and the issue of visitation are completely unrelated, legally speaking. I knew a case that I worked on with a guy who had been a soldier stationed in Germany, and he had had an affair with some local German girl who meant, you know, nothing much, whatever. And, you know, we got this case, and it was unbelievable. She had filed in Germany. She had a child. She said it was his. And, you know, it was a big, thick thing. She had been to court numerous times. They had done a whole study and a whole report. They had found him responsible. They had assigned a very large amount of child support in euros or whatever. He had arrearages. We had all these documents in German. Everything was translated to English. And the way it works, you know, in the modern world today is the German Child Support Agency, whatever it's called, like the National German Agency, contacts the one here in California and they had the German order recognized here, and there are treaties, you know, between the United States and other countries that recognize each other's rulings. And so, therefore, the rulings of the German court were recognized in the United States. And next thing you know, he has to pay child support, and they're garnishing his wages just like they would do normally speaking. So there's no escape from this. I've seen these orders from Poland and from Korea, Japan, South American countries. And, the world is becoming smaller and smaller. You know, you used to be able to, like, run across the border to Mexico and the cops couldn't follow you. But that's not the case anymore. And so here's a guy that had a child and give a shit, you know, whatever, back in Germany somewhere. And here it is being taken seriously by the courts here in California. So there's no walking away from it, Tom.
Wow. Wow. So you could lose the ability to see your kids and still get nailed for child support by long distance.
It's fascinating where, people sometimes do this, which is absolutely insanity. There's an expression that a verbal agreement is not worth the paper that it wasn't written on, you know? You wouldn't believe how many guys have a child with a woman, they don't get along, they break up, whatever, and they do a little handshake deal. And they'll say to the woman, okay, you know, I'll see the kid on the weekends and blah, blah, I'll pay you X number of dollars. And they start proceeding on that, and they never go to court, which is insanity, because what ends up happening, I mean, it's not some little side agreement between you and me to, you know, buy a motorcycle. This is something that's going to go on for 18 years. And, you know, particularly if the kids are kind of very young. So what ends up happening is the woman, you know, as I've mentioned this on the show a few times, wants to reconstitute a family. If she knows that the biological father of her children is out of the picture and there's no chance of fixing that, she will push the reset button and start going out with a new guy. And she tries to, you know, play that, you know, what they call the blended family, which is that, you know, you love me, so you also have to love my kids. And then the guy, you know, he's on the upswing. He's happy to be with her. It's a new relationship. So he starts being nice to her kids. So, you know, he says, hey, I got this job opportunity in Florida or Texas. It's always Texas. I don't know why. And they up and leave to Texas. Now, you as the guy here, let's say in California, you have no control over that because you don't have any orders and you've never gone to court. Normally, she couldn't go to Texas without your permission, but there's nothing to stop her. So she goes to Texas. She wants the new guy to be the father of the kids, so she encourages that. But at the same time, and this is what you're talking about, Tom, she still wants the money from you. Just because the new guy is playing dad or whatever, she's not stupid. She still wants to take as much as she can from your salary. So now you have kids that live far away. You never get to see them. If you call on the phone, she doesn't put them on. She hangs up on you. You have no real agreements. You have no authority over anything. So she could be raising them in any religion or any schools or any kind of anything she wants to do. She's already telling you, telling the kids that you're not their father. She's bad-mouthing you. She's got the new guy. And then on top of it, you're paying 40% or 50% of your wages to these kids that you never get to have any contact with. I don't know, Tom. It just doesn't seem like a good deal.
No. Makes me angry.
It should. It just pissed guys off a lot
I
more.
I still think that men who want to have kids should just get themselves that surrogate mom.
And how many guys really do that, do you think, Tom?
Well, as I keep telling men, gay men do it, and it works for them.
They were showing.
I think straight men should start to do the same thing.
They were showing. You saw this earthquake in Nepal.
Right.
And part of the earthquake relief and all this, apparently Nepal is a state that allows surrogacy. And this is like also starting to be big in India and Sri Lanka and some other countries where you are going to, let's say, buy an egg or you're going to get a donated egg. You're going to fertilize it or whatever. And then you're literally FedExing it and they're essentially leasing a womb. They're taking a woman from Nepal and they're going to let her gestate the egg, have the baby, which is yours genetically, and you pay her for this, and you know you pay her a few thousand bucks, and for her it's like, you know, the biggest fortune. She can't even believe it, you know, and you know she hasn't really been wronged in any way. You didn't steal her baby from her because it wasn't hers anyway, you know, genetically it was yours, and I think they choose women that have already had kids, so it's no big deal for her to have another, you know, for pay or whatever. And, you know, this is something that is utilized, as you say, Tom, primarily by gay men, you know. And, you know, I don't know how many guys, you know, on their own particularly are going to go to that much trouble to have a child. And I'm not so sure about guys that want to have children. I really think that what's happened, primarily speaking, you know, in our culture, in our world, is, you know, women were the ones that pushed that, you know. And I look at Gary, and I'm not so sure Gary wants to have a kid, you know? And even if he did have a kid, like through surrogacy, he'd need to have a woman to help him raise it. I mean, I don't see him, you know...
But it's cheaper to hire a nanny and have somebody who, you know, you pay to go home at the end of a work day. Or she sleeps in a bedroom down the hall from you.
It just seems like a relatively elite thing to do. I don't know.
I think it's cheaper than a wife.
I'm sure it is, of course. There's no doubt about it.
Nothing elitist about it.
No, I don't know that that's within the realm of your average person. I don't know that that's something.
Well, it's just like the average person doesn't say, like we were talking earlier about a prenuptial agreement. And
yeah,
the caller was asking me, how did I broach this subject? How did I broach it? There was just no two ways about it. If you don't sign it, I won't marry you. End of story. I don't love anyone enough to say, I'm going to let you off the hook because you look like the exception to the rule. Forget it.
Yeah, the classic statement I hear is, you know, well, I don't need a prenuptial agreement because I don't have anything. Who cares, you know? Which leads to the second question is, you don't have anything now and you're never going to have anything?
Yeah, you're always going to be a loser.
Yeah, loser forever, you know?
Right. And so the same thing about, you know, guys that they're afraid to bring up the subject, and they wait as long as possible and bring it up at the last possible minute and run the risk that the prenuptial agreement won't be enforceable because they waited so long.
Right.
It's the same thing, I think, with having children using surrogates. I think, you know, men are scared to death of the idea of that, but the reality is if they rationally think about it eliminates child support, interruption in the kid's life, being told what to do, having to listen to this shit all the time, having to bring back people from your past that you don't ever want to see again. So you have the kid is whatever religion you want him to be, the kid goes to whatever school you want him to go to, the kid goes by your rules, not somebody else's.
Well, the only thing I can think of, which is so beyond my imagination, and this is, you know, kind of maybe we're wrapping up where we started, is the Robin Williams thing. I think you can compromise with a woman or whatever about, you know, where the kid's going to go to camp or which school or what religion or whatever. But to have this woman have literally her hand in your pants, where she's taking your wallet, where she's, you know, coming in for more and more money. I was reading about Harrison Ford's ex-wife, and after all these years, she's still coming in to get a bigger chunk of his residuals and to get her child support and spousal support. I don't think she gets child support anymore, but spousal support increased, and doing audits and all this to try to get more money. And that's there's some unbelievable vindictiveness. And I've talked to women, and I've said to women, you know, that I had as women clients that are listening to me. And I said, you know, come on, enough. You know, you were married to this guy 20 years ago. You know, you got to let it go at some point. And their capacity to hate and their inability to forget, you know, guys get in a fight, they shake hands, and the fight is erased. It's gone. Who cares, you know? Women are not like that. A woman is going to be much more spiteful. She's going to hang on to it much longer. And she's going to say, after all these years, I still want to stick it to that SOB. And I want to get him where it hurts him, you know, which is in the wallet. And it's like, why, you know, why do you still hang on to it in that way? What difference does it make? Aren't you the one that cheated? And they forget that. You know, it's still chilling to me, Tom, considering all the work you put in, all the sacrifices you made to be successful, that you've talked about over the years, that this ex of yours was saying, you know, I'm going to destroy your career. Now, who would you say that to? What kind of comment is that? What would come over you to say?
People love talking about bullying. What is bigger bullying than that?
Yeah, but I mean, what would even come into your mind to say such a thing? You know, I don't know if I would say
you're angry, you've been rejected, it's your ego talking, your vagina didn't have the magic powers you thought it did.
Yeah, I think that's it, tell you the truth.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean,
that's it.
You know, to not be able to let it go and then to pay the woman off. I did a case literally last year where the guy had to write a check to the ex for more than $1 million, okay? And, I mean, it was a very distressing thing to do. And there I was working on it with him. And she got the money, and 10 seconds later, she's like, you know, and where's my check this month? Because she was already looking forward to the more money that she was going to get. And she basically maintained, and the law allows her to keep her hand in his pocket more or less permanently. And
right.
I don't see how that's rational. You know, one of the reasons you get divorced is because you marry the wrong person. And so this is supposed to be a way of fixing that. And you're supposed to be able to start your life again, be sad for a while, and then marry someone better suited than the first person you married, getting a new wife who's better for you. And maybe your ex-wife also marries someone who's better for her. But here, you can't do that. You're not able to start over because financially you're so handicapped. And the loss of your money at that point with the divorce, and then not only that, but the future loss of income, that by the time that's all calculated and reset, you're not able to start again with a new person because you don't have anything left. And then you're a slave for the rest of your life paying off your ex-wife and her lover that she's with now. I can't really understand, and I really think that there is going to be, and we're seeing it gradually, but there's essentially an undercurrent of all of this, which is going to be a revolution in our society based just on the fact that men are opting out, if nothing else.
We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back. We're going to tell you how you can get in touch with Adam. And, of course, if you have a question for Adam, you can call him now at 901-3000-TOM, or you can reach him at his office any way you want to do it. But he's here to answer your questions about family law at 901-3000-866.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Devin Bronson is back with us to talk about the black box, but this time instead of him talking about it or my talking about it, many P1 listeners like you have been writing to Devin and the folks at BN Audio to tell them how happy they are with the black box. What are people saying?
Yeah, the email response has been great, and I wanted to share a few of those with you today. One was from Robert in Escondido. He wrote, "After plugging my iPod into the black box, my ears were very pleased. Thank you for a great product and exceptional service." We love that. Next was Stephen Kurtz, wrote us, "My neighbors hate me now." That was good.
That's how you know it's good.
Yep, he's using it. Next was from Matt Hardy in Maui, out in Hawaii. He bought three of these from us. He wrote, "I am blown away. I cannot believe the sound that came out of such a small box."
Now, this is very exciting. If someone listening now has been turned on by hearing what other P1s are saying, how do they get a black box?
They can go to our website. It's bnaudio.com, and they can enter the promo code Tom in their checkout and get 20% off.
Don't take my word for it. Take the word of other satisfied P1 listeners. People are buying that black box like crazy. Just go to bnaudio.com, enter the promo code Tom, and get 20% off. You're going to love the black box.
We're here with Dr. Skanky Poon. He's the director of testicular abnormalities at the Poonjai Center for Ball Health. Doctor, what can you tell us about tiny ball syndrome?
Oh, totally tiny. Terribly tiny balls.
Yes, it's tiny ball syndrome.
Terribly tiny, totally tiny balls.
Well, you heard the doctor.
Terribly tiny.
Don't let it happen to you.
Tiny, tiny balls.
Humor is faster, harder. New normal rock.
Boys, I've been encouraging you for years. Using the services of a professional to help you navigate some of the more difficult times in life can be invaluable. It has been for me, and it's great to hear that so many of you have been taking back control with the help of our friend Paul Beatty at Sydney Counselors. Paul has years of experience helping guys who suffer from severe crisis, suicidal tendencies, and more. He studied a range of approaches and could tailor sessions based on what works for you. Now, this is one-on-one counseling designed to address issues head-on and help you get back on track. Paul's focus is to help men find their own way through many common issues alcohol and other addictions, depression, self-esteem, coping with crisis, and managing anxiety and stress, even getting over relationships. Now, if you're in Sydney, you can meet for face-to-face counseling at Paul's office in North Sydney. Or, if you're anywhere else in the world, you can meet with Paul via Skype or phone from the comfort of your own home. Visit Sydney Counselors at supportforguys.com. Go there now, supportforguys.com, and take back control today.
Hammer time!
The Tom Likas Show. A bonus hour with family law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me toll free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check out my website, www.adamlawyer.com. And you can definitely send me an email. I love email, adam@adamlawyer.com.
There you go. 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number to talk to Adam Sachs. Free legal advice for you. Victor in Los Angeles, you're on with Adam. Hello.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Victor.
Hi. I'm asking a question based, on behalf of my father. Not that he knows about it, but he is not making any money at his law office. And he's about 80 years old. We've been supporting him, and so we've told him that he needs to close his office. But he just doesn't seem suited to continue to make money any other way. I was wondering if you had any idea what you would do after you retired to make money using your law degree, your law practice.
Well, there's a lot of lawyers out there that don't practice law. Law degree is actually very flexible and useful in a lot of ways. And Tom was kidding around and saying before how, most people in politics are lawyers and a lot of business people are lawyers. And that's true. I guess your father's an older guy, but there's actually a couple of good books out there, which are called things like, What to Do with a Law Degree and Alternative Careers for Lawyers. You can take a look on Amazon. Be sure to use the Tom Likas link to get there. But on Amazon, these books exist, and you can buy them, and they talk about how you can use your training and your background as a lawyer to do other kinds of things, like being an entrepreneur or whatever. I know that a lot of times it's very hard for an older person to give up their job, especially men, because men sort of define themselves by their work, and I think women are doing that to a larger and larger degree now. And so I had a grandfather who ended up giving up the job that he had for a long time. And it was really hard for him afterwards because that was kind of what he was used to. And retirement was very kind of depressing for him because he wasn't doing his thing. So if your, father maybe could, instead of concentrating on the money, let's say he's retired or he's getting a pension or whatever, or Social Security, maybe he could volunteer, maybe he could do kind of pro bono work, do work to help the poor. Maybe he could get on some kind of a panel at the court and help people with lower incomes or whatever. I don't know exactly what kind of lawyer he was, but that might be something that he can still feel that he's, practicing and involved, and it's a lot less of the stress of actually making a living or running an office, which, might be too much for him, but at the same time to still be involved, That might be an alternative.
He can host a judge show on TV.
There's always those judge shows.
Hundreds of those.
Wasn't there a judge show on the radio that just got canceled? Perez or something
yes.
of the sort?
Yes, there was.
I saw that. Was that a real judge? I don't know.
They're never real judges.
No, I thought Judge Judy and some of the other ones are real judges. They were actually judges.
Judge Judy's husband is a real judge, and yeah. Judge Wapner, the original TV judge, had actually been a judge who retired.
All right.
But now they just go after, sassy African-Americans who don't necessarily have law degrees. That's what they do.
What about the one on Fox, Judge Jeanine? Something like that?
Oh, Jeanine Pirro?
Yeah. Is she a judge?
None of them are judges now because would be allowed to be a judge.
Was she ever a judge?
I don't know. She was an attorney.
All right, well, that's something.
But the deal is that no judge would ever be allowed to do this. You don't You'll be here's a little Tom Likas history you don't know about.
Okay.
In the early 80s, when I was in Albany, New York, I had a guy on my show who was an attorney who appeared weekly, who was on the air as the judge. And the reason he was the judge, Judge Sholem Koplovitz, he was the judge because once a week,
What's with you and the Jews, Tom? Come on.
It just keeps happening. Once a week, he was a night court judge.
Okay.
So he called himself Judge Sholem Koplovitz. But the reality was, he was a corporate attorney. That's what he did. Once a week, adjudicated traffic tickets.
And, but what did he do on your show?
Answered legal questions.
All right, there we go.
And talked dirty to old ladies who called him a legal question.
All right. We got to work on that.
Somewhere I have an air check of that. The judge.
Maybe Mike will dig that up for us.
The judge.
That's good.
Every week the judge was on, and people want to talk to the judge. So, hello, judge.
I want to do a little follow-up then, so we can get old ladies to call, and I can talk dirty to them. I like that.
Yeah. That'd well, first of all, you have to have old ladies listening, which the station in Albany had no shortage of.
Yeah, then we could have a problem with that. All right, I'm going to put Gary on that. Gary's going to get ready to produce that. You ready for that all segment, right. Gary? No. All right, Gary's going to line up the old ladies, and I'm going to talk dirty. But what do you say to old ladies nowadays? I don't know. They're not like old ladies used to be.
No, it's like 50 Shades of Grey now.
Yeah, old ladies are, you know, pretty hip.
Yeah.
We're like golden girls, right? We're talking about sex 24/7.
That's right.
Like Mrs. Roper on Three's Company.
Exactly right. By the way, Sholem Koplovitz is still listed in one of the legal directories. I'm looking at him right now.
I love it.
Licensed since 1964.
All right.
There you go.
That's before I was even born. There we go.
There you go.
Way to go, Sholem.
That's right. All right. Very good. Adam Sachs, once again, how can people get in touch with you?
Call me toll-free, 800-340-7320. Send me an email, adam@adamlawyer.com.
Okay. Yeah, by the way, if you're listening to a replay of the show or you're listening to us on demand, you can hear Adam every Tuesday live. You can call in and get free legal advice Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Stick it in your rack. Let them enjoy it, too. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
I'm with me.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the now fully digital magazine devoted to beer.
Yay!
Beer Magazine. A Marysville, Washington woman accused of trying to shoot her husband because he wouldn't help her with the housework.
Oh, no.
This crazy bitch. Apparently, dude just got out of the hospital. He was treated for hepatitis.
Yeah.
And he probably shouldn't be doing housework.
Our friend up there in Marysville called 911 Saturday evening. They say his wife, Starlene, had just tried to shoot him inside their home.
Starlene.
That's her name. Boy, is she a star.
She, the man also told cops that she threw a glass vase at him first, which shattered.
I'm going to guess, considering where they're living, it's a vase.
Right. As he was cleaning up the glass, the husband said she then pushed over their barbecue.
Wow, that's bad right there.
Which the husband was using to cook fucking ribs. The ribs on the floor with the vase for
then,
the face.
Then the dude was kind enough, he picked up the barbecue, and that's when Starlene immediately knocked it over again.
Oh, this is getting ugly. This is getting ugly. Then what happened? Then
they got inside the house.
Okay. Your boy
our
sat on the couch.
And he was relaxing on a couch.
Yes.
And that's when the TV remote hit the ground, breaking it.
Busted in pieces. All right, so you got
a
broken vase, you got ribs on the ground, you got a broken television remote.
Yep.
And then that's when she went for the big guns.
She went into the bedroom, came back holding a Smith & Wesson 9mm, which I own. I own that exact pistol. And Our friend said he was just sitting there in a love seat when our girl Starlene came out and pointed the gun directly at him. She said, get the fuck out of the house, before she pulled the trigger and fired a single shot at him. Of course, our buddy was not hit, but he decided, probably in his best interest, to get the fuck out.
Yeah.
He didn't want to wait around for the second shot.
I wonder
shot.
If it was all gangster. I wonder if she had it turned on its side and shit. I mean, how did she miss him?
She missed.
He was sitting in the love seat.
Thankfully.
Sitting there. I wonder if he was enjoying the ribs.
He didn't even get a chance to. The shit was tossed over, pushed over.
He picked him up. He picked him up. Get him back on the fucking fire.
Basically, she said, that's our friend Starlene, she was frustrated that our boy had not to help clean up some spilled water. Mm. And that's when she admitted to police that she blew up, thus going into the bedroom to retrieve the Smith & Wesson 9mm.
She told police she thought about not using the gun, but that she had just gone too far to resist.
She said that she has never been more upset during their 33 years of marriage, and she wanted him to pay. That's what, according to police records.
By the way, her own words, she was pointing the gun at his chest when she pulled the trigger, and she missed him.
Thank God she didn't have, like, good training. Otherwise, our friend wouldn't be here
okay.
to explain this story.
Men, do not train your women to use guns. Need to be turned on you. Amazing story about this California man who apparently is accused of killing his wife on a cruise in Italy, right?
Yeah.
So then he has his, the girl he's fucking around with, he has her testify that, you know, he had nothing to do with it.
Hey,
it's
he didn't
all
do
good.
It.
Then they break up.
Oh, no.
She goes
See?
Back to the cops and she says, uh-uh.
Oh, no, he did.
Oh, he did it all right. Then he's in jail for killing the first wife. He sends two guys out to have her sign a letter that says, when I went back to the cops, I was lying. And then after signing the letter, she was supposed to be killed by the two guys. Like nobody would suspect anything.
Yeah.
He wrote up the whole fucking letter.
By the way, our friend's no dummy because he netted more than $1 million because of all this shit.
Yeah,
I guess
he is a dummy because he's in the fucking can,
yeah.
dude, for the rest of his life.
Yep.
And he tried to kill another person.
Here's what happens when you trust a woman with knowing that you did something serious. You can't do it. It's the biggest mistake ever. You cannot do it. You can't kill somebody and tell a girl you did it. Eventually, it's going to turn out bad, and they are going to tell on you.
That's horrible.
The man allegedly drafted a letter anything. In which his ex-wife stated that her 2006 testimony was accurate and that she was forced to lie when she came back in 2013. Then the two inmates that he hired to get the letter to his ex-wife would have her sign it, then kill her.
Oh, I get our friend's plan.
Yes.
I kind of like the plan. It just didn't work out so good.
I have no idea how that woman lied, but I got this letter that says that she was forced to lie.
She's not around to defend the letter, but here you see it says, she said I made it up. I made it up.
That is wacky. Finally, a big alert for you. It's Kaya Hefner, who apparently is related to Hugh Hefner as a daughter-in-law? What?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe something like that?
Man. Kaya's unbelievable.
Sister-in-law. Hugh Hefner's sister-in-law. Kaya Hefner.
So, Hugh Hefner's sister-in-law.
Must be married to a brother?
Yeah, he does have a brother. Hmm.
Not married to a brother, but
no.
Hugh Hefner's brother.
Yeah.
He's not a brother.
Brother. I know he has a brother.
I don't know anything about Kaya, but she's brother. All right with me.
Yeah, she has a terrific underboob, and yeah.
She's wearing a doily.
Yeah, essentially, that's what it breaks down to. If you find that your grandmother has a few extra left over, all you have to do is grab them and give them to our girl
right,
Kaya,
exactly.
And she'll be glad to put them on.
Plenty more news for guys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino. Check out the podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find it. There's a brand new show every single Friday. It's GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Your brand name is important to you, so it's important for you to protect it. SlamDunkDomains.com is where you need to start. The guys at Slam Dunk Domains are experts in helping you protect your brand with top-level domain names, .com, .net, .org, and many more. Plus, they'll host your website and email right at the same place. Visit SlamDunkDomains.com today. Enter coupon code TOM101 for a 15% discount on any purchase over $30. Let the guys over at SlamDunkDomains.com score for you and your business. SlamDunkDomains.com.
This is the new normal.
It was really a lot of fun.